Good evening. Also, good evening to those who watch us online. My name is Samuel Dong, and this is my third summer internship here in Bloomington RPC. So it is a great privilege to me. I appreciate your prayer, your support, your generosity to me and to my wife. This summer, for evening service, I would like to go through the Lord's Prayer. So it is in Matthew chapter 6. Please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. It's on your Pew Bible, page 1116, on page 1116. As you are turning there, notice the context here. The Lord's Prayer is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's like an invitation to your personal prayer life. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches you what to pray. But before that, Jesus teaches you how to pray. You should pray personally and simply. So here is the word of God in Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 8. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for your word, and you teach us how to pray. Father, give us a tender heart to your word, and also give us the time, the place to pray personally and simply to you every day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. A teacher asked a little boy, Johnny, tell me frankly, do you pray in your church? So Johnny replied, yes, I go to church morning and evening. We pray a lot in my church. We pray for church ministry. We pray for people who are in need, who need help. Then the teacher went on with her question, do you pray before you eat? Well, Johnny said, I don't have to, because my mom is a good cook. Well, you might be like Johnny. You pray in your church with people together, morning and evening. But the problem is that you didn't pray much when you are alone, in your personal time, in your private time. Here, in our text, it reminds you that pray to your Father personally and simply because he knows your need and will reward you openly in Christ. And the children of the church, if you draw a picture today, you may draw a picture that you pray to your Heavenly Father by yourself. You may pray on your own bed. You need to lay down all your toys and quiet your heart. He is your personal God. Your relationship to your God is person to person. As we look into the text today, I want you to notice that first, pray to your Heavenly Father every day. Pray to your Heavenly Father every day. In this short text, Jesus addresses Christian daily prayer three times. In verse 5, when you pray. In verse 6, when you pray. In verse 7, when you pray. So Jesus urges you to pray every day. As a Christian, you ought to pray every day. But you might ask, since God knows all things, is it necessary to pray? Heidelberg Catechism, question 113, I put in your outline. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? The answer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give his grace and the Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. Through prayer, you offer thankfulness to God. If you have a good day, thanks be to God. If you have a good job, thanks be to God. Don't take things for granted. You need to see God's hand in your everyday life. In the Old Testament, God's people need to offer thanks offering in their day. But today, you don't need to do that because Jesus fulfills all the sacrificial laws for you. But you do need to do it to offer your prayer, which is a thankfulness to God. You can't offer your good work to God. You don't need to burn any animal to God. And yet, you do need to offer thankfulness in your prayer. Prayer is a means of grace. How possibly a sinner could approach a holy God? You may perish immediately if you approach a holy God by yourself. You couldn't do that. It's through the grace of Jesus. Prayer is your privilege as God's children. Because God doesn't hear any unbeliever's prayer at all. So, God hears your prayer. It's not because you pray. God hears you. It's because Jesus saves. In his work, The Triple Knowledge, an exposition of the Heidelberg Catechism, Hermann Hoxman said, principally, you are not saved upon or because of your prayer, but you pray because you are saved. God does not deal with his people as sometimes a doctor deals with a sick man who is not able to take any nourishment through his own mouth and therefore feeds him through his veins. That sick man, of course, never tastes his food nor his drinks. God wants you to be hunger and thirst after righteousness, and then you shall be satisfied. What a privilege to be a Christian. Do you want to taste this spiritual, this heavenly satisfaction? If you do, then ask God for hunger and thirst for righteousness. God promises to you in his word, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. You ought to ask, to seek, and to knock in order to take God's promise. So you ought to pray every day. But then, what's your motivation of your prayer? Why you pray? Do you want your prayer to be seen by man or by God? So secondly, let God see your prayer rather than man. Let God see your prayer rather than man. In verse 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. The hypocrites loved to pray. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. If you are a people who love pray, that's great. Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. The hypocrites loved to pray standing up. there is also nothing wrong with that either. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah stood when she prayed for a son at the temple. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat stood before the assembly to pray. In Mark 11:25, Jesus assumed that his disciples would stand when they prayed. So standing is a proper posture for prayer. Furthermore, the hypocrites prayed standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. So far, so good. There's nothing wrong with praying in a house of worship. In Luke 19, Jesus went to the synagogue and called the temple a house of prayer. He also prayed when he was out in public. In John 11, Jesus prayed in front of the crowd that gathered at the tomb of Lazarus. Although Jesus condemned these hypocrites, there was nothing wrong with their frequency, the posture, or the location of their prayers. What's the problem? The problem is that this hypocrites was not what they did, but why they did it. They loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by man. The last phrase is the problem. As Augustine explained in outline, it's not the being seen of man that is wrong, but doing these things for the purpose of being seen by man. Dr. Philip reconciled, the problem with the hypocrite is his motivation. He does not want to be holy. He only wants to seem to be holy. He is more concerned with his reputation for righteousness than about actually becoming righteous. In our text, Jesus goes on in verse 6, assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. Hypocrites received human praise as their reward, which never lasts long. Friends, do not be a hypocrite when you pray. Do not pretend to be what you are not. Come as you are. Come the way the tax collector came, who beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's simple. So how much time do you spend in your private prayer? How much time do you spend in public prayer? There is something wrong if the only time you ever pray is when someone else is watching. Pastor William Steele in Scotland used to say that when it comes to prayer, the church prayer meeting ought to be the tip of the iceberg. Only about 10% of an iceberg flows above the surface of the ocean, while the other 90% is submerged. In the same way, the public prayers of the church ought to be supported by a large mass of private prayer throughout the week. So if there are 10 people who come to Wednesday church prayer meeting, we need another 90 who pray at home to support them. So we do need people to pray personally and simply at your home. Revival comes from your personal prayers. We need more people to pray. So let God see your prayer rather than man. In our text, Jesus gives us further instruction on how to pray in verse 6. So thirdly, pray personally. Go into your room, shut your door, pray to your Father. In verse 6, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. God is invisible, but he is not somewhere far away and inaccessible. No, he is right there in the secret place. Therefore, to step into your secret place, Your prayer closet is to enjoy this intimacy with God. In verse 6, the whole scene is in personal terms: your room, your doll, your father. So it's very personal. And in Greek, this yours in verse 6 are all in singular case. It's not plural. Prayer here is very personal. You pray to your Heavenly Father by yourself. Bear this in mind. You might think that the Lord's Prayer is talked about or public prayer in the church. Actually, in this context, the first and foremost, the Lord's Prayer is to be used in your personal, private prayer. Our great example for private prayer is our Lord Jesus Christ. He was always sneaking away from his disciples to pray in some secret place, in Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and he departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. In Matthew 14:23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, he was alone there. Even in the garden of Gethsemane, when his disciples were with him, in Luke 22:41, Jesus was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. So throughout his ministry, right up to the time he prepared to die on the cross for your sins, Jesus went to pray in secret. That's what your prayer life ought to be. Pray personally. In our text, verse 6, the word Jesus uses for room is the word for a small inner closet or chamber. In those ancient days, the storeroom was often the only room in the house with a door. The point is that every Christian can find a private place to pray. Well, not every Christian can find a closet to pray in. It might take you some time to clean it up. But every Christian can find a private place to pray. In his little treatise on prayer, David McIntyre described a poor woman in a big city. The demands of her work and the incessant clamor of the city made it difficult for her to meet with her Lord. But eventually, she found the perfect solution. I throw my apron over my head, and there is my closet. Another man, in his book, who was converted on board a ship sailing back to Scotland from the West Indies. The ship was so crowded with sailors and passengers that there was no place to be alone. But the man still found a place to pray, he said. I can just cover my face with my head, and I was as much alone with my Lord as in a closet. So if you don't pray by yourself, don't blame your closet. You may find a place to be yourself. So friends, where do you pray? What places have become precious to you as the place where you meet your Lord? Is it a closet in your home for prayer? Do you go out into the woods to pray? Do you have 5 minutes during a break in your office to pray? Do you spend your personal time with your Heavenly Father? Let nothing distract you, only you and your Father. So pray personally. Go into your room, close your door, pray to your Father. Enjoy this intimacy with God. Furthermore, you might struggle with how to let God hear your prayer. Do you need to repeat your prayer more? So fourthly, pray simply. Pray simply. You will be heard in Christ. You don't need vain repetitions. In verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. There is nothing wrong with long prayers. Psalm 119 is a fairly lengthy prayer. In the book of Ezra, chapter 9, Ezra sat down to mourn for a whole day. It was a long prayer. In Luke 6:12, Jesus prayed all through the night. It was a long prayer. It was not a prayer of how long it is. Our text, the problem with the pagans was not that they prayed too long, but that they prayed the same thing over and over and over again. Pagan prayers were good luck charms full of empty phrases. They are not sure whether God will hear them. They don't have faith in their prayer. Martin Luther said, "All prayer must have few words, but be great and profound in content and meaning. Few words and richness of meaning is Christian. Many words and the lack of meaning is pagan." So the effectiveness of your prayer does not depend on the length of your prayer. One of the best examples is the story of Elijah on the Mount Carmel. The great prophet gathered the people of Israel on the mountain for a prayer meeting. All the prophets of Baal were on one side, Elijah on the other, may the best prayer win. The prophets of Baal called on the name of the Baal from morning until noon. That's a long prayer. But there was no response, no answer at all. Then Elijah stood up. He simply yet powerfully prayed, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." That's what all Elijah prayed. It's very simple. It is straightforward. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up all the sacrifice. So God does not need any lengthy explanations. If you find your prayer life is weak, is it possible that you made things too complicated? Your prayer must be fervent. They ought to be frequent, but they do not need to be fancy. Your prayer will be heard in Christ Jesus. It is not heard by many words. So lastly, your Father knows your need and will reward you openly in Christ. Your Father knows your need and will reward you openly in Christ. In verse 8, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." Your Heavenly Father is all-knowing. He already knows your need even before you pray. God loves you dearly. He often supplies what you need almost before you ask. Hazen Taylor, founder of China Inland Mission in the 19th century, he learned that God gives us what we need almost before we ask. In 1859, Taylor faced a crisis. The man who ran his mission hospital, suddenly was forced to return to England. Unfortunately, the man not only ran the hospital, but he also provided almost all its funding. The future of the work was in jeopardy. Gradually, the situation of the hospital worse and worse. The food supply decreased until the last bag of rice. Then, on the day of their food run out altogether, a letter arrived from England with a check for £50. And the hospital was saved. Furthermore, the man who wrote the check had recently come into a large inheritance and wanted to know how the rest of the money could be used to glorify God in the land of China. The remarkable thing is not simple that God kept the hospital open. The remarkable thing is that the letter had been sent months before it arrived in China. Long before the crisis began. So God knew about the need before the need arose. So by the time Hasten Taylor prayed for God's help, help was already on its way. Isn't it amazing? If you don't pray, you won't experience such amazing grace. Friends, what do you need? Comfort, healing, guidance, housing, employment, or future, whatever you need. If you are the child of God, your Father is probably working on it at this very moment. And very likely, he has begun providentially series of events that ultimately will result in the answer to your prayers. In verse 6, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What's your reward? Answering prayer is your reward. If you pray in God's will, surely your prayer will be answered. Life transformation is a great reward. The more you pray to God, the more your life will be changed. If you pray before you argue with your family members, you will forget what to argue about. If you pray for your anxiety for your future, your heart will be more peaceful than you think. So life transformation is great reward to you for your prayer. As a child, you are loved, you are protected, you are provided by your Heavenly Father. That's all your reward. It's heavenly blessing. Let's make our prayer more practical. If you never pray to God in such a personal and devoted way, I call you to practice it. When you arrive home tonight, go into your room, close your door, pray to your Father. Prayer is personal. It's devoted. If you can only focus on prayer for 1 minute, then pray wholeheartedly for 1 minute. And the next day, try to pray for 2 minutes. I hope in the end of the week, you may pray. Everybody in our congregation may pray for more than 5 minutes, maybe more than that. If you can wake up in the morning, if you can sit alone with your Lord for half an hour, that's wonderful. So it's not about how long you pray. It's about you are really devoted. You pray personally and simply to your God. Meet to your Lord, person to person. So pray to your Father personally and simply, because he knows your need and will reward you openly in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for your word. You teach us how to pray. Father, forgive us because we oftentimes pray the Lord's Prayer in the church, but we forgot that you give your prayer for personal prayer. So give us a tender heart to practice it in our own home, and let us to meet you person to person. Let us pray personally to you every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond and sing Psalm 42C. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Let's draw near to our God in our private time. Let's pray to him personally and simply. So please stand and sing Psalm 42C.